this world, there is real evil. In the darkest shadows and in the most ordinary places. These are the true stories of the innocent and the unimaginable. At the Lake Club, every night is full of life. But when the music ends and the crowds go home, the place is as cold as a crypt. An angry ghost stalks the employees and warns that one of them is about to die. Between the world we see and the things we fear, there are doors. When they are open, nightmares become reality. For decades, the Lake Club in Springfield, Illinois, has served as a way station for gamblers and musicians. But not all of them were simply passing through. For one soul, the Lake Club was a trap. And death was just the beginning. In the summer of 1974, Lake Club owners Philip Dean and Tony Barbato show the club to a prospective renter named Bill Carmine.
Hey, Bill. Nice to meet you.
I had a construction business with my dad and brother. Due to the energy crunch, the business failed. We kind of pooled our money together and started looking for something that we could invest in. So we found out that the old Lake Club was up for grabs.
The place first opened in 1941. Here, legendary musicians like Nat King Cole and Ella Fitzgerald played to crowds of up to 1,200 guests. The club has been closed for the past 6 years. But the owners have taken good care of their property.
Sure. You can walk around the whole place. It's gone. You turn on the lights and you come in.
The glasses were all there. The chairs were all there. It was almost like a turnkey walk in and open up.
Share the rest of the place.
All Bill needs to reopen the nightclub is a liquor license and a band. Philip Dean finalizes the deal in a back office.
There you go.
Sir.
Bill notices a hole in the ceiling.
What's that there? A water leak or something?
Dusty, you can fix that, can't you?
Yeah, that'd be good as new, no problem.
A couple days, good as new.
Dean quickly reassures him that the caretaker, Dusty, will fix the problem.
You got 6 years old, right?
Each day, Bill spends long hours alone in the club, getting the place ready for business. one afternoon.
I could hear the piano playing in the back. Chill.
In the fall of 1974, the Lake Club opens under the management of Bill Carmine.
When the word finally got out and we opened the doors that night, we were just completely overwhelmed. They dragged us out of beer, we were out of booze, we ran out of ice. We made it through the first night, got a little better prepared for the second night. And it just kept on going like that for a while.
Bill quickly realizes that he can't run the club by himself. He turns to musician Tom Blasco.
$6.50. Buy you guys a drink.
I first became involved with the Lake Club when my band was hired there. And I met one of the owners, and we became friends.
You do such a good job. I know you got
we got a rapport going with each other. I asked him if he wanted to invest.
I want you to come in, maybe manage the place.
It was an interesting scenario, so I jumped in on it. Got some different entertainment in there, and the place just went great guns.
Surprise, surprise.
After hours, the managers hold private parties for friends and employees. Over time, co-workers become like family. The waitress Barbara Lard, it seems like the perfect working environment.
I started working at the Lake Club when I was 21 and a half, and I was very young, very naive, and not in any way, shape, or form prepared for what would come in the future.
Surrounded by this cold chill. It was a drafty cold, and it would just go right through you, just engulf your whole body.
Tom assumes that he's neglected to turn off one of the air conditioning units in the basement.
It was like someone was right behind you. Just very frightening. Very frightening.
One night after closing, Tom Blasco has a terrifying feeling that he is not alone.
And I became extremely scared. Ran out of the place and left the lights and air conditioner running. This is something that you're kind of trying to rationalize is not happening. When it is happening.
All right. Get the hell out of here. Get the hell out of here. Right.
Tom decides not to tell anyone about the experience.
Well, I thought sometimes when you tell people these stories, they'd look at you like you're a little bit crazy, so I just opted to keep it to myself and see what happened.
Bill tells Tom that he's had some strange experiences inside the club.
No one. Are you sure you didn't see anybody?
There was no one in there. I walked in there, the piano cover was down. I walked around all over the place. There's nobody there, man.
Well, I think the scariest thing was the unknown part about it. You didn't know what was happening or who it was or what it was.
You can't let anybody know about it. All right, keep this after, please.
Tom and Bill don't want to frighten the employees or patrons.
You really don't want word to leak out. Otherwise, people wouldn't want to come out and come to the business.
For weeks, Tom and Bill don't experience anything unusual.
Anytime, you guys do me a favor.
Yeah, what?
I got a real important meeting, if you know what I mean. Can you do me a favor? Can you finish doing the money, the credit card receipts, the books, and all that?
Yeah, no problem.
All right, man. I'll see you tomorrow.
One night, after business hours.
You could hear like a din of people talking. You couldn't make out what they were saying, but you could hear a conversation going on. I started carrying a rosary because, being a Catholic, I thought that would protect me against any evil or bad things that were going on there.
Come in to get set up for the next night. Here's all the cash still out on the table, and the safe was still open.
Looking everywhere for something. I couldn't see anybody. Nobody was around. And somebody was there.
He said it just scared the hell out of him. And he said he didn't really remember running out of there and leaving the money. He just knew he wanted to get out of there.
The strange events become more frequent. And the two managers share their experiences with trusted employees like Barbara Lard.
All of them?
Bill and Tom would talk about different small things that had happened. I really didn't believe that there was really a ghost there. It was something fun to talk about and something fun to laugh about. But I didn't really truly believe.
You got a nice place in here, man.
Yeah, thank you.
You book a lot of bands.
One morning, a salesman visits the club.
So I guess you're pretty busy. So what got here is an automatic check right.
I figured, well, okay, I'm going to let him do his bill, tell him no.
Checks are written. You don't have to worry about finding a checkbook, balance, and all of that. Your managers can write the checks, and it really makes things a lot simpler. You don't have to worry about bookkeeping later. It really simplifies life. It makes your business run much smoother, easier. Your bookkeeper...
It scared the hell out of him.
But, sorry about that.
The violence of this latest event convinces Bill that he cannot ignore what's been happening.
We were wondering what measures we should take. You can't close the doors on the business because we got a problem there. So we were kind of between a rock and a hard spot. On this particular night, we were packed to the gills. There was more people in there you could shake a stick at. Bartenders and waiters were just going 90 miles an hour trying to keep up with everybody.
Unbelievable. There's 12 women waiting in line up there for us. I've got to go.
Well, just go in my office here. Yeah. Come on. It's open. Just go ahead and use it. It's not open. Come see me. I got
you. Okay. Thank you.
When I went back to the office, it was very, very uncomfortable. I just was unsettled, and I thought, oh, I'm just a little nervous because we've been so busy.
One of the owners. They're gonna die.
At the Lake Club. Waitress Barbara Lard believes that she has just seen a ghost.
I just stood there. I was in a state of shock.
Barbara, what's wrong?
She was in terror. And I'm like, Barbara, what's the matter? I can't tell you. She was just panicky. And I told her, I said, you know, go back in the office and sit down. Well, I'm not going back there. I'm never going back there again. I told her, go ahead and take the rest of the night off. She was in total terror. And I'd never seen her like that before.
Day, Barbara describes the man she saw in the back office.
I went in there and he spoke to me.
I said, what did he say? She said, I can't tell you. Why can't you tell me?
I can't tell you.
The owner is going to die.
We can't help you out if you don't tell us what he said to you. We need to know.
I made the decision not to tell Tom and Bill. And that was very difficult. I was so scared, and I didn't want it to weigh heavy on their minds.
Bill decides to seek answers from someone who knows more about the Lake Club's history. He pays a visit to Dusty, the club's longtime caretaker.
So everything good, right?
Everything.
No problem.
Okay, so she was in the bathroom and she saw this guy. I mean, big guy.
Bill gives him Barbara's description of the ghost.
6'2", big head, big long mustache.
That
you know,
sounds like Rudy. I mean,
Rudy.
Remember the guy I was telling you about? Remember?
Dusty says it sounds like a former bartender named Rudy Craner.
Rudy. You mean the guy who's a bartender?
Yeah, he's the bartender. Got a picture.
Yeah, look at that.
He gives Bill a group of photos taken when Rudy worked at the club.
I'll show these to Barbara. I'll let her take a look at it. Trust me, everything's fine. Okay. You're doing a great job. Listen.
All right.
Bill takes the photos to Barbara.
Would you tell me?
And he said, do you recognize anybody?
This is him.
That's who?
This is the man that I saw. This is the man that I saw in your office. This is him.
Okay.
Bill explains to the others what Dusty told him. Craner worked at the club in the days when Philip Dean and Tony Barbato ran the business.
We're in a lot of trouble here.
He made a small fortune in tips from well-heeled patrons of the club's illegal casino.
Here's the deal.
In December 1958, police raided the club and put a dent in Rudy's earnings.
I'll take care of it. By tomorrow, we'll take care of it.
The financial stress of the following years gave him excruciating stomach ulcers. In 1968, Rudy was diagnosed with cancer. There were also rumors that he had been accused of stealing money from the club. After years of financial troubles and physical pain, Rudy finally snapped. Said that Rudy Craner was a Catholic.
Uh-huh.
As a Catholic himself, Tom has a theory.
Since suicide was the worst sin a Catholic could commit, he might be trapped between the planes of life.
Well, we found out it was Rudy. He was the one perpetrating all this stuff around here. And he was getting violent. It scared me and Tom even more.
Barbara.
The violent way that he died, he might turn right around and use that violence again on somebody that I knew. And that thought just scared the hell out of me.
Calm down. It's okay. All right. Calm down.
Bill is unaware that Barbara is harboring a terrible secret. Rudy's ghost told her that one of the club owners is going to die soon.
His head went off. He's not alive, so...
It's been real.
Carrying the secret of knowing that something was going to happen...
Be careful!
...really affected me. Just weighed so heavy on my heart because I just adored Tom and Bill both so much. That was just almost more than I could comprehend that I would lose either one of them.
Business owners, the future looks grim. In the middle of a busy weekend night, beer tap suddenly loses pressure.
All right, just calm down.
gonna get upstairs for me. Everything's all right, okay? Come on,
man. Bill goes into the basement to fix it.
I wanted to go down and give it a swift kick to get it working. And when I went down, the lights were all off down there.
Because it wasn't Tom and Bill. And that may sound cold or cruel, but that's how I felt. It was like relief.
Barbara now feels that it's safe to share what the ghost of Rudy Craner told her.
Hey, come.
Well, she says, I can tell you what Rudy told me now. He said one of the owners was going to die. Yeah, she says, I was afraid to tell you because I thought it might be one of you two.
God, that scared me. Still gives me the shakes.
Tom and Bill wonder if Rudy Craner has predicted Philip Dean's death, or if the ghost somehow caused his death.
Did Rudy have something to do with it? Did he have enough energy that he stopped the owner's heart?
If a supernatural entity did murder Philip Dean, Bill fears the same thing could happen to him.
I thought maybe he's not going to draw the line at one owner. We knew that something had to be done. And Tom suggested getting a priest and blessing the place.
An old high school classmate, Gary Dilley, for help. Dilley is a Roman Catholic priest. Tom asks him if he thinks an evil spirit could be haunting the club.
I believe there's a spiritual realm we don't understand. And I do believe the Catholic Church also teaches that these spirits can communicate to us in different ways. We in America don't like to believe in these things because we're rational people, we're highly educated, and that kind of belongs to the superstitious. but I think it's far from superstitious. I think there's a reality there.
Hey, guys. Let me show you the rest of the place here. We'll go down this hallway here.
Within seconds, an ice-cold presence embraces Father Dilly.
Wait a minute. What is it?
You could feel expectations. And it felt like someone had left a door open to a walk-in freezer.
He says, you certainly have something here.
St. Michael the Archangel prayer. We believe that St. Michael and Lucifer battled, and we believe St. Michael is a powerful source for us. Take them over.
said, now that we've blessed the place, let's get way back away from the building. And I said, what, the building's going to blow up? And he said, couldn't possibly happen. That freaked me out.
They wait outside for almost 30 minutes. Something has changed.
When I went back into the club, I didn't feel cold chills. I didn't feel the hair go off my back. My neck. I felt very comfortable there.
The building just became very, very quiet, and the coldness was gone.
Father Dilly believes that Rudy has heard their prayers.
Rudy was stuck in time. He wanted people to know he was there. He didn't want to be forgotten. And I think that through our prayers, he was able to let go of this earth and go where he was supposed to be.
The blessing puts an end to the paranormal activity. Popularity of the club begins to wane.
We've made it for about another 6 months, and then we close it down.
Man, not the thing I thought would be in big bright lights.
After the blessing, I felt much more at peace. It was almost like, okay, now Rudy can rest. He will be at peace.
It changed my belief that there is an afterlife. Certainly we don't know about it, and sometimes you don't think about it, but there is something that goes on after we die with what's ever left of us.
Let you stay upstairs, okay?
Y'all take care, you know.
Before all this happened, I never believed in a ghost. But I'm a believer now. And I don't care what people say. I know it happened.